this morning, both from the New and Old Testament. Let's first read from 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And then after that, we will turn to Psalm 119. Several verses there. 2 Timothy 3. Here the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent or without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they who creep into houses and lead captive, silly or gullible women laden with sins, led away with divers various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres, who were probably Egyptian magicians, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax or grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works." So far the word of this passage. And then we go to Psalm 119. And I'll mention the verses we will read. We begin with verse 12. We read in verse 12, Psalm 119, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Then we go to verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes." And then we go to verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Then we go to verse 64. "The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes." And then verse 66. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed your commandments." And verse 68. "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And then we go to verse 108. "Accept, I beseech you, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments." And then verse 124. "Deal with your servant according unto your mercy, and teach me your statutes." And verse 135. "Make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes." Our text this morning is from Psalm 119, these nine verses we just read. And the theme of the sermon is, "Teach me, O Lord." Beloved congregation belonging to Christ, nine different texts. How can the minister preach on all these verses in one sermon? Did any of you think that maybe? When I announced for our text this morning, Psalm 119, verse 12, 26, 33, 64, 66, 68, 108, 124, and 135. I can understand you wondering about it too, but did you notice with me how in all these verses from Psalm 119, there are two words that are the same? in each verse. The words, teach me. 6 times the psalmist says, teach me your statutes. In verse 33 he says, teach me the way of your statutes. In verse 66 he prays, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And in verse 108, teach me your judgments. Do you hear it? Over and over, that phrase, teach me. Teach me, O Lord. In the original, the Hebrew teach me is just one word, lamdeini. And this one word refers not just to gaining knowledge through instruction, but also learning to apply that knowledge wisely in all of life. A related word in the Hebrew is ox goad. Do you know what that is, an ox goad? It's an iron-tipped instrument that farmers in those days used to guide the ox as it pulled the plow. As the ox was guided by the ox goad, and you could say as the horse is guided by the bridle and stirs, even so the psalmist wanted to be taught by the Lord and to be guided and to be led in the way of the Lord and His Word. So you have this repeated prayer. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes. Well, in this sermon I wish to focus with you on the psalmist's repeated prayer here. Teach me. You might guess what led me also to this text for today. It's the fact that this week school begins again. Some of you maybe have already begun school. One of our grandchildren a few weeks ago said she was counting the days for when school would start again. Others I know also here maybe are wishing that the summer break will be a little longer. And maybe you'll get what you want because your school building isn't quite ready, perhaps. Regardless, the new season is about to begin. And what kind of students will you be, your children and young people? And all of us, really. Quite often we begin the school year, isn't it true, quite excited. Maybe even because of having new binders or a new backpack and whatnot. And meeting your classmates again. But that excitement doesn't always last, does it? Teachers don't know that many students who call out, as it were, teach me, teach me. Just keep teaching me, for I want to learn as much as possible. Oh yes, if we like a subject, that may be our attitude. But if we don't like the subject much, and if we don't care for the teacher, we can so easily develop a poor attitude in our schooling. I know parents that often have to encourage their children and youth not to show unthankfulness and to have a poor attitude during the school year. It's something to pray about too, isn't it? Lord, give me to be thankful for my education opportunities and help me to have a good attitude during the school year, also with my homework, etc. Interestingly, as I was writing this sermon, I came across this quote, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. It won't get you very far unless you change it. Will you, each and all of us, myself too, remember this? Yes, every school day too. And surely now, coming to our text and being taught by the Lord, yes, instructed and guided by Him and His Word, you know what always needs to be your and my attitude. That of the psalmist here in our text, in the 9 verses. The psalmist's desire in our verses is this. It's set as an example before us how we ought to live before God. It's the attitude and mindset we should have well with us. It's what marks a true child of God, really. What is this attitude? Lord, teach me. Keep teaching me. We are not sure who the author of Psalm 119 was. Most believe it was David as the inspired author. It's also my view. And if it was David, imagine him as an older man, probably by this time, and king of Israel, and the greatest leader in the world of his day, praying regularly still, teach me, O Lord.
me your statutes and the way of your statutes. Teach me good judgment and knowledge.
Why would such a successful king and man as David, having reached the top of the world, as it were, humanly speaking, still be inclined to pray this prayer? Teach me, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Let's think about that more in this sermon. There are surely very good reasons why he so prayed and why you and I need so to pray. If we would be truly wise unto salvation and really successful too in our lives. The aim of the sermon then this morning is to impress upon us, younger or older, the importance of daily calling out to God, Lambdaini, teach me, O Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes. It may be a convicting question to ask. When have you last prayed, teach me, O Lord? For sure, the more spiritually minded we are and the more mature in faith we become, the more this prayer will be uttered. Teach me, O Lord, teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes. If this prayer is not common for you and not something you see really a need for, there certainly is reason for alarm and concern about your spiritual state and condition before God and your future well-being even. So that all then here, including myself, might be stirred up truly and repeatedly to pray this common phrase of our 9 texts, teach me. Let's consider 3 reasons at least why the psalmist repeatedly called upon the Lord to teach him and to guide him. One reason the psalmist asked for God's guidance and teaching was that he knew how wrong-headed and wayward he was on his own. I mean by that, the psalmist realized, he learned it even painfully, how left to himself always he would make foolish and faulty choices and sinful decisions if God would not teach him and guide him otherwise. You see, the psalmist understood. He learned by the Spirit that he was conceived and born in sin. And that being a fallen, sinful man by nature, of himself he was blind to the truths about God. And he was perverse and wayward in his thinking and in his behavior before God and people. The Bible teaches us, and history and life experience proves it, doesn't it? That of ourselves, left to ourselves, we go through life lost. Lost in sin and evil, and unable to seek God and to know Him and to live for Him. Paul says of the natural man, Romans 3, there is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. And it's clear, also from the whole of Psalm 119, that the psalmist understood this solemn reality about himself as a sinner. The last verse of the psalm clinches this, really. In verse 176, he confesses, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Realizing this, something of his natural depravity, he prayed, you see, so often and fervently, therefore, teach me, O Lord, teach me the way of your statutes. You know, here we learn again, don't we, how basic and how essential knowledge of our sins and sinfulness is to true spiritual life and godliness. What draws a sinner for the first time and what draws a believer time and again in the way of true conversion before God and consecration to God is when you learn to see your own depraved and miserable condition by nature. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism also so helpfully instructs us on the basis of God's Word that you can't know and enjoy the only comfort in life and death of belonging to Christ except you also realize and keep realizing how great your sins and miseries are left to yourself. You know, It's failure to realize this experientially in your mind and heart that results in people turning away from the faith once for all delivered to the saints and counting the one time, old time, all time gospel instead, now only more just really as needless relics of a bygone age at best. Here, let me ask, therefore, each one, do you recognize for yourself what the psalmist recognized for himself? Do you own and confess if God doesn't guide you all the time in every way by His Word and Spirit, you are bound to go wrong all the time in every way? So many aren't teachable before God every day because they don't acknowledge their hopeless, lost condition as fallen, depraved, guilty sinners of themselves. But the psalmist did, you see, and he prayed therefore fervently as he does in this psalm, "Teach me, O Lord, teach me." You find that phrase throughout the whole book of Psalms too. We know from the Bible in the book of Genesis that man was not created perverse and evil, blind and wicked. But we became that way through our fall into sin with Adam and Eve. And here it's helpful to repeat what we confess also as Christian church in the canons of Dort. Again, just on the basis of Scripture, in the third and fourth chapter of that faithful confession, the first articles thereof, we acknowledge, quote, "Man was originally formed in the image of God. And even so, his understanding was adorned with a true and saving knowledge of his Creator and of spiritual things. His heart and will were upright, all his affections pure, and the whole man was holy. But, revolting from God by the instigation of the devil and by his own free will, he lost these excellent gifts, and in the place thereof became involved in blindness of mind, horrible darkness, vanity and perverseness of judgment. And he became wicked, rebellious, and stubbornly resistant to God in heart and will, and impure in his affections." Beloved, that's the way it is with you and me on our own, if the truth be told. And therefore we need to pray so much and so often, "Teach me, O Lord." It is striking how the psalmist prays over and over, "Teach me your statute and the way of your statutes." You see, he realized even just having the Word of God by itself, as great a blessing as that is, was not enough to lead him in God's ways. No, he needed the Lord graciously to open the Word to him and to open his heart to the Word. The psalmist realized for himself what Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, how that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so also the psalmist had learned, by God's regenerating grace and power, except God, by His Spirit and Word, guide him in the truth and lead him day by day with the truth, except God would thus be his teacher, he would never understand the Lord's ways and never walk in His ways. Does this all find an echo in your mind and heart now too, dear children, young people, and older ones? You know, today there are lots of people gaining knowledge, all kinds of knowledge, even knowledge about the Bible. But they wrongly apply that knowledge, for they don't seek the Lord as their teacher and guide. And they make all kinds of wrong conclusions and decisions in life's journey as a result. Before his conversion, Paul, the Jewish zealot, knew lots about the Bible. But he used all his knowledge in a wrong and perverse way, aiming for his own glory and not God's, and promoting a false religion and not true religion. Not till Christ became his teacher and guide did Paul's knowledge function in a way of wisdom, in a way that was right and beneficial and God-honoring and for the good of others. So also now, thinking of going back to school again. Isn't it true? You can learn a lot in the coming months and year again. But if you don't ask in your education, in all your learning, teach me, O Lord, your statutes and the way of your statutes, then you are bound to use that knowledge you gain and your increased learning in wrong ways. How many people misapply so much knowledge in wrong ways? How many people even misapply their Bible knowledge, favoring texts that make them feel comfortable and ignoring and discounting texts that expose sin and evil in their lives? Oh, the psalmist knew something of how wretched he was by nature and how prone he was to fall and to fail. And so he prayed over and over, "Teach me, O Lord, teach me." I ask again, do you see the reason for this prayer in your life as well? Did you maybe pray this prayer before more than lately? "Teach me, O Lord." How come you stopped praying this prayer when you prayed it before? Do you think you can afford to slack off praying, "Teach me, O Lord"? Have you become so wise you don't need to pray this anymore? Have you become so strong, so secure, so rich, so mature, so conceited, you don't see the need to pray this anymore? "Lord, teach me." The Bible gives us some sad examples of people who stop looking to God for direction and leading. Think, for instance, of King Saul. And later, King Solomon even, for a time. And what about King Asa? And King Uzziah, just to mention a few examples. If you know yourself at all, you will realize there's always room to pray, "Lord, teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes." I was struck when preparing this sermon with a reading in another book, unrelated to my studies for the sermon. Quote, I read this quote, "One of the most harmful errors we can ever make for ourselves and in ministering to others is to assume that we have arrived spiritually and theologically. None of us," writes this author, "none of us has a completely uncorrupted Christian worldview or mastered the gospel in all its applications and implications. We all need the Holy Spirit as our teacher just as much as the day we first believed." And he goes on to say, looking to God and His guidance, there are rich and powerful discoveries in Scripture that still await all of us. Discoveries that are brand new, even from old, familiar passages. End of quote. How absolutely true this is, beloved. And it makes me ask again, will the common phrase of our 9 texts be also your ongoing fervent prayer in sincerity and in truth this coming season? "Teach me, O Lord. Teach me as a new month begins and a school begins again and a new church season begins and life goes on. Teach me also in the perilous times in which we live. Teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes." As ambassador of Christ, I want to urge you and myself on the basis of God's word to pray often, "Teach me, O Lord." Yes, not just because of how wrong and wayward we are bound to go without God's teaching and leading, but also for this second clear reason that the psalm and psalmist clearly expresses. He cried, "Teach me, O Lord." Secondly, also because he learned and realized how wonderful a teacher the Lord God is. He's the most wonderful and the best of the best teachers indeed. And this comes out in several of the verses we have as our text. Take for instance verse 12. There the psalmist says, "Blessed be thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes." We may believe there's a close connection between those two phrases in that one verse. Knowing the Lord to be
the gracious, loving, almighty, faithful, glorious, blessed God, the one only true God. The psalmist wanted to learn from Him, you see, and to be led by His hand and by His word and spirit in life's journey.
So also in verse 64, the psalmist says, "The earth is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes."
You see, again, he sees God, his covenant keeping God, as being full of loving kindnesses and tender mercies and untold wisdom and power. And it makes him cry out, "Teach me. Teach me your statutes. Let me learn of you and let me be led by you, God of all creation, God of all providence, and God of plenteous redemption."
Verse 68 demonstrates the same attitude. There the psalmist testifies, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes."
You hear again how his conviction that God is good and that he is the very best made him also seek to be taught ever by the Lord and to be guided through his counsel and word.
And this is the gospel truth, isn't it? The Lord is most wonderful and good in an infinitely indescribable measure even.
And therefore, yes, you and I too should seek ever to be taught by Him and to be led by Him and His Spirit and Word.
Any and every other teacher and guide whom you would choose to follow and obey over and above the Lord or even alongside with the Lord is bound to lead you astray and deeper into darkness and dismay. You can't trust your conscience. You can't trust other people. You can't trust the world. You can't trust Satan to lead you in right ways. But the Lord God of the Bible? Oh, you can always trust Him. He is the good shepherd of His people who leads His own into green pastures. The green pastures of His goodness and mercy and love and wisdom. And He leads His own by the still waters of quality life here below and eternal life hereafter. Oh, the Lord as our teacher and guide is so good. He's also so compassionate and so gracious and all-knowing and all-wise and ever-patient and ever-faithful. David experienced this too in his life, didn't he? And we see this most clearly too about God when Jesus came to this earth.
Think of Jesus here on earth, come in the flesh, God, come in the flesh. More than once the gospel tells us that Jesus was a teacher different than the rest. When he taught in their synagogues, we read in Matthew 13, the people were just astonished as they said among themselves, "From where has this man this wisdom?" And in Luke 4:22, we read the people wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we are told this, and it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, no teacher can be compared to the Lord. With the Lord is found infinite wisdom and endless care and ability to lead his own in right and good paths and in the way of salvation, rich and free, and life abundant and life eternal, in full reconciliation and relationship with the triune God himself. It should be pointed out kind of interestingly how often in association with the psalmist's prayer, "Teach me," he appealed also to the name Lord, referring to Jehovah God, the name and title describing God in all His fullness and delightfulness as covenant-keeping, faithful God in all generations. Notice this particularly in verse 12 and 33. "Teach me, O Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." The Lord, the covenant God of His people, has shown Himself in history as the God who was and is intent on delivering His people from slavery and to bring them into freedom, rescuing them from the bondage in Egypt and bringing them into liberty in the promised land of Canaan. And we know this was all a foreshadowing of the covenant God's greater and ultimate redeeming work
namely to deliver His people from sin and to bring them salvation, to rescue people like us from the darkness of evil and bondage to Satan, and to bring us into His marvelous light and into the full redemption obtained for sinners through Jesus' once for all sacrifice for sin on Golgotha. He is the Passover Lamb for us, and to be under His blood, to be safe forever. Jesus came to seek us and to save sinners, and so through His role as mediator and His work as Savior, He has come to deliver from death and hell and to bring redemption and to open the way to heaven for sure, and to deliver lost sinners like us from ignorance and blindness, and to lead us in true knowledge and sure wisdom and every good path by His Spirit and Word. This all and more the covenant God, the Lord, pledged to do for His covenant people. And He still pledges it to do so and calls all people in the world to hear His gospel word. What a great, splendid, wonderful God the Lord is, filled in Christ Jesus with all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge for all who will hear His voice, for as many as apply to Him. So the psalmist prayed, therefore, you see, teach me, O Lord, teach me. Thinking and knowing not only how wretched he was in himself, but how wonderful the Lord is, how wonderful in all His promises and works and ways. None who seek and follow after Him as their teacher and guide will ever be disappointed or ultimately live to regret Him as teacher. No, no way. In fact, the Lord has revealed in Christ Jesus and His Word, He is the only one who can lead you and me in the way of true and tested wisdom, righteousness, knowledge, and good judgment and discernment. The Lord God of the Bible is ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ, the long-promised Savior of sinners from the day of Adam and Eve's fall. He is the only one who can and will lead us in the way that is always good and that proves so reliable and trustworthy for body and soul, in life and death, for now and the hereafter. To follow any other teacher results in what Solomon teaches in Ecclesiastes by the Spirit of God, namely that all of life, after all, becomes only vanity, and vanity of vanities. So also the book of Proverbs passionately states time and again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So then, why should we pray now? Teach me, O Lord. Well, thinking just how wretched our condition and state is without God's teaching, and how wonderful, wonderful a teacher and guide of His own the Lord is, you already have two clear, abundant reasons to pray constantly and sincerely, teach me, O Lord, teach me. And again I ask then, is this prayer your fervent prayer? And will you too, by God's grace, keep praying this prayer this season and for as long as you live, even? How terrible and how sad and how foolish it is when God's covenant people and church people and anyone really refuses truly to pray this prayer. Is that what some of you are actually doing, perhaps? Even now, you're not listening. And you're in whatever stage of life you're in, maybe you're a younger person, maybe you're older. We all know, even though you're in church now, we all know how easy it is to sit in church without really seeking God, without truly praying in your heart, teach me, O Lord, teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes. It's so easy to have just a form of religion without knowing the power thereof, because of no real interest, no realization of your need before the Lord and His gospel of salvation. But again, the gospel call is being sounded, isn't it, to us all, none excluded, proclaimed in Jesus' name. If I hear from this pulpit, will you join the company of the redeemed who ever call out to the Lord? Teach me, O Lord, teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes. I was struck by a line in a table talk devotion from August 29 that stated, quote, "Even salvation is no mere invitation. We are commanded to repent and believe. Oh, that all here will do so without any exception. I pray, God, in Jesus' name." When you truly call out, "Teach me, O Lord," the evidences of you doing so in spirit and truth are then that you become earnest and diligent in looking to the Lord. And you flee from sinful ways, abhorrent to Him. And you love His Word and you grow in that. And you love the company of God's people. Then too, you long more and more, not only for deliverance from the guilt of sin, but also from the power and grip of sin that yet may be there in your life. Those who truly seek the Lord and His guidance are humble and contrite before the Lord and show themselves again and again teachable. And then you appreciate also church education programs and church services and Christian upbringing. And all that's involved with that. And you treasure God's Word. Yes, then you could say, when you truly pray, "Lord, teach me," eventually you become really quite heavenly minded. Even as you live life's brief, busy, earthly journey here and now. The divine teacher guides His people in the way of true religion. And it's worthwhile to ask you, are you being guided in that way as well? And is this what you want above all for yourself and for your children and for your children's children too? All who truly pray with the psalmist, "Lord, teach me," become like the psalmist by God's grace, increasingly drawn to the Lord, increasingly repentant of sin, increasingly humble and loving before God and His service, and increasingly godly and heavenly focused, and thinking of others more than only of oneself. Can you say that these things are happening also in your life? Also, you grow older day by day. And as another summer season ends, are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you must say no to these questions, or maybe hardly so, Pastor, isn't that all the more reason to pray then truly today too? Lord, teach me, please, teach me Your statutes and the way of Your statutes. Will you pray it today? In private, before the Lord, and maybe together with those in your home. Surely, if you begin to pray this prayer, the Lord will show you your need to keep on praying it, and you will want to keep on praying it, learning the wonderful truths He has to teach you, and walking in the blessed way that He guides you. And saying that brings me to the third and last reason yet we will mention for the prayer of the psalmist. Teach me, O Lord. The psalmist prayed this prayer, and we need to pray this prayer truly and time and again, considering not only how wretched and wayward our state and condition by nature, on the one hand, and on the other hand, how wonderful the Lord is as teacher and guide of His own, but think yet of this as well. How worthwhile the instruction and guidance of the Lord is. That's what David knew. The Lord is not only the best teacher you could ever find, but what He has to teach us is the most splendid and something infinitely worthwhile. Why? Well, because it's the absolute truth in a world of so much falsehood. And it's what leads to God. I mean, just consider how through the Word incarnate, namely Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, with that gospel word applied to our minds and hearts by the Holy Spirit, you and I can come to know and to fellowship with the one only true God. God in all His glory and splendor. We can learn by His Word and Spirit the way of salvation and reconciliation and relationship with the Lord, and not be left in hopeless alienation and separation and judgment from Him for all our sins and sinfulness as we deserve. We can learn how to resist sin and to overcome the world and Satan and the spirits of this age. We can be discerning through the teaching of our Lord.
We can learn the true meaning and the rich purpose of life and live most fulfilling and fruitful, promising lives, regardless of our circumstances. We can learn too what true love is all about. True love before God and others. And we can begin to reflect something of that. And indeed grow in doing so. Imagine that. We can learn how to be strong and peaceful even in the greatest of trials. We can learn how to face death even without fear. And in fact with much comfort and joy. Indeed, with the worthwhile teaching of the Lord, we can learn how to live victoriously now and to be more than conquerors for always and to be such a positive light of hope in an otherwise dark and hopeless world. All this and more the Lord will teach His own who trust and follow Him. With the Lord is found such true and delightful wisdom and helpful knowledge and understanding that the psalmist says in jubilation in the same psalm, Psalm 119, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Verse 99 and 100. Our scripture reading from 2 Timothy 3 also referred to this, didn't it? There Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means helpful, most useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. To what end or for what purpose? That the man of God may be perfect or completely fulfilled, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. See, those who walk in God's ways, in other words, following Jesus as only Savior and Lord and all His gospel word, they live faithful, fruitful lives to God's honor and for our neighbor's good. And they pray. They pray and aim for that same more and more. And they have the sure hope and comfort of heaven after this life. All for Jesus' sake alone. That's the truth. How worthwhile is God's teaching. In verse 135 of Psalm 119, the psalmist prays to the Lord, make your face shine upon your servant. Teach me your statutes. You see, truly and clearly we learn it here again. It is through the Lord's teaching and statutes, His word, His precepts and counsel, hearts and lives, that you and I can literally and lavishly experience God's face and favor shining upon us. And tell me the worth of that. You can't tell me, because it's endlessly worthwhile. And also our path becomes as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day, says the wise man in Proverbs 4:19. Our 3 points happen to all start with W. And as I was wrapping up the sermon, I couldn't help but think of WWW. And how that's how we look up things in internet. And I thought to myself, you know what? All the endless information on internet about everything in all the world doesn't compare one iota to all the worthwhile teaching of the Lord to us and for us. And the worthfulness, the worthiness and worthwhileness of belonging to Christ. And hearing His word and following after Him and His statutes. Well, do we as confessing Christians also confess this in our lives? Do we demonstrate this? Oh Lord, teach me and guide me in your grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise I go wrong. Because I know you're so wonderful. And your teaching is so worthwhile. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, a new season is upon us. Will it be a blessed and fruitful season for you and for me? That's not dependent on our circumstances, but on this alone. Do you and will you pray with the psalmist? Teach me, O Lord. Teach me your statutes and the way of your statutes. 9 texts, all with the same petition to God Triune. Teach me. You won't forget this sermon with the 9 texts in our context, will you? As we begin this new season, also as church family, and with the new school season beginning. In the coming months, I'm hoping to do a series of sermons on the parables of Jesus.
Not all of them, but many of them. And we will discover, I'm sure, what great and gracious and glorious teacher our Savior God truly is as we study those parables. Let me say here too, if you have a parable from Jesus that you really would like me to preach on, please let me know. And I will do my best to come to it in the months ahead. Whatever the case, let us have this mindset and heart attitude by the grace of God. And we will be blessed truly and more. And we will be a blessing as the seasons come and go. Yes, with this prayer, teach me, O Lord, and teach us all the way of your statutes. Amen.